So I just wanted to welcome y'all to Overflow. It's this nice little service that we have here, and it's just a blessing to see all y'all here. And I just pray that each and every one of you hear what you need to hear tonight. I mean, I can't say for certain that's what's going to happen, but you know, God works, like, so. But yeah, throughout these last couple weeks, we've been in a series talking about Christmas. That's the surprise, right? Like, we're talking about Christmas, and like, in four, I can't count, but like, soon it's gonna be Christmas? Wow! But over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about what if we really lived like what we said during Christmas time. So, as you'd expect, we've been addressing points that most Christians like fall short. During this time, like first week, we had Isaiah talk about how Jesus is the reason for the season and how we often neglect or forget that. And then our second week, we had Myrrh talk about how sometimes it's scary to obey God, but Mary, who was like terrified to be all like, okay, I'm gonna have the Savior of the world, like obeyed God. And because of that, we have Jesus, and that's pretty dope. And then last week, I talked about how it's not really the most wonderful time of the year, but more so, it's the most wonderful time, period, because we have the gift of Jesus. So this week, we're going to be talking about joy to the world. Now, I understand if you were here last week, you're a bit uneasy because, like, last week we did watch Jesus being crucified on the cross, and it's not something you expect when you go to a Christmas service. It's like, I was here for baby Jesus, not dying Jesus. But I can assure you that there will be no crucifixion videos during this message. So you have my blessing to rest a little bit easier. I will be talking about how there's joy for everyone and how we often tend to withhold that joy that we have as Christians to other people who we don't really deem worthy of receiving it. But Jesus came to give that joy to everyone, not just the Christians. So, I mean, there's my message. I'm so happy all y'all came. Have a great week. Merry Christmas. I'm just kidding. You guys can laugh. I mean, maybe I'm just like, I might not be funny. Like, that's also a possibility. Like, I've been told that I'm not funny when I try, and I don't really feel like I'm trying, but yeah, a pity laugh would be appreciated. But now, actually getting into the message, we're going to be looking at Luke. And now, in this scripture, we're focusing on the birth of Jesus. Like, big surprise. We've been talking about the birth of Jesus for like 4 weeks now and going on five, so woo. But yeah, this week, we're being focusing on the birth of Jesus and then an angel appearing to the shepherds. So we're just gonna like cut to it and get right into it. So the scripture is Luke 2, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. It goes a little like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a declare that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while that name was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up to his town of Nazareth in Galilee of Judea, to Bethlehem in the town of David, because he belonged to the house in the line of David, where he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him to be married and was expecting a child. While they were there at this time for the baby to be born, she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him up in clothes and placed him in a manger. There was no guest room available to them, and there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch of their flock. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shrouded around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you great good news that will cause great joy to all people." Now, I'm sure most of us are familiar with the scripture. I mean, if you've been around the church, especially during Christmas, you've definitely heard the birth of Jesus. Like, it's not new. And, like, it's like, most people like get like the birth of Jesus out of that scripture. Like, they're like, oh yeah, the Savior of the world is born. And don't get me wrong, that's amazing. Like, it's more than anyone could ever ask for. But there's a lot more to take from that than just the birth of Jesus. Like, there's a lot to get from the people who were there. Now, I'm sure all y'all know at least like the three wise men, the three kings, or magi. They've been called a lot of something, a lot of three though, and the three shepherds. Now, we know the kings brought gifts, and those gifts were, this is an interactive message, this is when you guys answer. I didn't mean it, I'm just kidding. They were myrrh, frankincense, and gold. I'm sorry, LaCroix. But I just love how they all brought like myrrh and frankincense. Myrrh is like an oil, I think, and frankincense is like a perfume. Who knows? And then there's one king who brought gold. He's like, you know, baby Jesus is going to like me a little bit more because you guys brought, like, what's he going to do? How is he going to use that? I brought him gold. But like in their defense, how is he going to use gold? He's a baby. But we're going to be focusing on the shepherds who didn't bring anything. And the shepherds is a really fascinating point because as I was studying the scripture, I found out that the shepherds were not viewed in the most prettiest of lights. They're actually viewed in a pretty negative light. The shepherds were referred to as the troublemakers of that day and age. Now, what I mean by this, like, shepherds were obviously viewed in a negative light, but then we have to ask ourselves, like, why were they one of the first ones to see baby Jesus, like sweet little baby Jesus? And the kings make sense, like they're kings, and they're saying the King of Kings, and they brought gifts. The shepherds were the troublemakers, and they didn't bring anything. Like, why were they even there? Like, I mean today, like, if we look at the troublemakers of today, they're not shepherds, but they're still troublemakers, you know? Like, I'm sure we all have a person or people that we're thinking of that is like, oh, I don't really like you around the church, or like, you can come in, but I'm watching you. Like, it's unfortunate that we have that stigma, but there are troublemakers of the day. Like, we don't trust them to enter the house of the Lord, but the troublemakers were one of the first people to meet the Lord. Like, I just love how, like, as soon as Jesus was born, like, he was already changing perspectives. Like, one of the first group of people to see little baby Jesus wasn't, like, the Pharisees or the holy, like, priests or anything. It was the troublemakers. It was the people who were outcast by society and just did what they wanted to do. Like, like, that's just good. Like, the angel didn't tell them to bring any gifts. The angel just told them to bring themselves. And their lives were changed because of that. And not only that, they were one of the first people to share the good news of Jesus. Like, I'm sorry, I'm passionate about this, but the troublemakers, the people that we feel uneasy when they're in the church, were the first people to share the news about Jesus. Like, gotta get an amen. Amen. Thank you, whoever you were. I appreciate that. Like, can you imagine if Jesus was born within our time? Like, we'd expect the angel to come to us, or like a Joel Osteen or a Joyce Myers, like one of those highly renowned like pastors. We'd be like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But in fact, the angel would go to the people who are struggling with drug addictions or struggling with whatever, like struggling with their vices, and be like, hey, go see baby Jesus and get your life changed. Like, that's how God operates. God doesn't operate the way we'd expect him to. We'd expect God to adhere to our guidelines. We'd expect God to go to the people we'd expect him to, the holy people, the good people, you know? But we know that's not true when we read the Bible. Like, throughout the Bible, God is changing that narrative, and especially when Jesus is around and he interacts with the Pharisees. Like, the Pharisees were the spiritually elite. Like, they knew what they were talking about when it came to Yod. But they didn't really know that much, because when Jesus came, he, like, called them out on their bull. Like, oh, when Jesus interacts with the Pharisees, it's just the best. Like, he's flipping tables and stuff, and it's just a fun time. Like, we'd expect Jesus to hang out with the Pharisees, but that's not the case. As we know, like I just said, he calls them out on their bull, but Jesus actually saves a prostitute from being stoned. He heals a paralyzed man being lowered from a roof. Like, they cut out the roof and lowered their friend, and Jesus healed them. He heals the leper person by the pool, and he eats with the tax collectors. Like, that's not something we'd expect the Lord of Lords to do. But this is why Jesus was questioned when he declared that he was the Messiah, because he didn't operate to how everyone thought he was going to. He operated with the troublemakers, the shepherds, the people who we wouldn't really want in a church. Sorry, I need to find my place. I'm going all over the place. But the people who spent the time with Jesus weren't the people that we'd accept today. Like, that's something I've noticed in myself and in other Christian communities, that we're very selfish when it comes to our joy. We like to have the joy of the Lord and make it ours. We're like, I've seen what you've done. I've seen what you posted on social media. You're not really quite a Christian as much as you say you are, so you can't have this joy. This is my joy. You can't touch it. Get out of here. Like, we're selfish with the joy of the Lord. Like, it's not the joy of Bear. It's not the joy of Overflow. It's not even the joy of the world. It's the joy of the Lord. So why are we saying, oh, you can't receive this, you haven't done enough for it? We don't get to determine who has it or not. That's just the case. Like, we only affect how we receive it, and we don't even have full control of that. Like, for me, like, I've been with God very early on in my life. That's no credit of my own. That's all the credit to my mother. And even then, the time we are with God doesn't matter. It's the quality we have with God. So, like, for me, when I started obeying him, I noticed that that quality and joy increased. But there's a long period of time where I didn't obey him, and I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I knew how to receive the joy of the Lord and that love better than God did. And that looked like submerging myself in weed and self-hatred. Now, in a year plus of a sober mind, I realized that that doesn't make very much sense. Like, I know it's like, yeah, that doesn't make sense at all. But, you know, when you're not sober, you're not thinking straight. Like, no surprise here, but that period of my life sucked. Like, I was just miserable. Like, I'd cut everyone out of my life who loved me and who I loved. Like, I tried killing myself a few times, and I just submerged myself in all my vices. Like, I found, like, okay moments, and, like, I've noticed God in some moments here and there. But compared to now, they were lacking a lot. And that's no credit to God. That's all my fault. Like, I decided I knew what was best, and I thought I knew how to receive God's joy and love better than God did, which is pretty outrageous. But once I decided to finally obey and let God, like, fully take the reins and follow his lead in my life, like, he blessed me, and he blessed me hard. Like, he was already blessing me. He was giving me little blessings, but, like, when you start obeying and following God, he's like, okay, you can handle these bigger blessings and these bigger joys. And one of the biggest joys and blessings I've ever received, other than salvation, was this light of the Lord that I like to call Molly. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, God didn't say, oh, you finally listened. Here's your reward. Her name's Molly. Have fun. He was more like, hey, you've gone through a long, tough journey. You made it tougher than you had to, so way to go on that. But here is a person who I love deeply. This is God talking. And she is very precious to me. You will treat her right, or I will make you treat her right. Her name is Molly. And I can't tell you how blessed I am to be with her. Like, I know not all of y'all want to hear this. It's like, oh, Jake, I get it. You're happy. Good for you. But it's my message, so deal with it. This is how God blessed me and brought me joy. So go write your own message. But in seriousness, God and Molly have brought me great joy. And they just chose to grant me that. That was no choice of mine. Like, I had nothing to do with it other than just obey God. Like, God and Molly didn't judge me based off the life that I lived. Well, Molly a little bit, but, you know, it's valid. She's not God. But God didn't judge me off of the choices I made in my past and the life I lived. He doesn't look at our past to figure out how he will love us. He looks at Jesus to figure out in the future we can have because of Jesus, to figure out how he'll love us. You see, here's the thing. Like, this point, I hope you guys like it. When I was studying and working on this message, like, it came to me and I was like, ooh! But you see, the world doesn't revolve around me. It doesn't revolve around you either. It revolves around the sun. With an O, not a U. So, like, everything in the Bible points to Jesus. Like, Old Testament and New. Like, it all points to Jesus. In God's judgment for our lives. It doesn't point to our judgment. In fact, it points away from our judgment because our judgment is flawed and biased. Well, like, and then God's judgment, along with Jesus's, is love and righteousness. We judge others and ourselves off of what we've done in the past. And God judges us off of what Jesus has done and will do. Right, which makes you feel more joyful. I also got to a point while writing this message where it's a bit hard because God hit me right in the heart. But it's here. Like, I'm at that point now, so just bear with me a little bit. So, one point that I need to get across to y'all is that there isn't a single person on this planet that God wouldn't die for. In fact, he already died for them. I know there are Christians that say you have to fix this or change that before God will love you. And I apologize on the lack of understanding. But Jesus didn't die on the cross for the world. Jesus died on the cross for the world, not the modern day Pharisees. Like, they're included, but their logic is flawed. You don't have to be a certain way to find love from God. And you don't have to act a certain way or do a certain thing or love a certain way. The angel on the night when Jesus was born said to the shepherds, the troublemakers, the outcasts, the people that we feel uneasy when they're at church, he said to them, I bring you great news of a great joy that will be for all people. Not the people who've never touched a cigarette, never done a drug, never drank alcohol, or only loves a certain way. He said, for all people, period. Jesus died so that everyone might know love and joy. No one has the authority to deem someone not good enough for God. Because, in all honesty, there's no one good enough for God other than Jesus. And Jesus made a way so that we might all know God and find him. Jesus made a way so that we could know love and joy. Guys, as I'm wrapping up, I want y'all to think of what's getting in the way of the joy and love God wants for you. If not, why are you not receiving it? I'm not up here with it all together. That's not a thing. I'm fighting for my joy and love every day or every week. But he's not about to let us go. In fact, he sent Jesus so that he could overcome the world because we simply can't. God loves you for who you are. And if anyone says otherwise, they're lying. Yes, we have flaws. And yes, it's good to acknowledge them so we can work on them and work past them. But I'll be honest, some of these things that I struggle with, I don't have the strength on my own to finish them. And that's why Jesus is a thing. Jesus died so that we might find strength in our weakness and that we might have victory over our flaws. He gave us joy to the world. God gave us joy to the world. And his name was Jesus.